This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and yeah, I had an OnlyFans in my 20s, except it was just a bunch of open micers who saw my boobs, and I didn't make any money.
I'm Brandy Posey, and I'm going to do an impression, you guys. Okay.
Oh.
I've seen a lot of shit, and I don't want to talk about it. That's a bathroom that fought in Vietnam.
Oh my God.
Thinker. I'm Tess Barker, and I was very grumpy, but then I bought new sneakers.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We got some toilet humor coming your way.
Yeah, yeah, I'm on theme.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love that.
Good work.
Consistent. Yeah. This is not toilet, but it feels adjacent. I had an exchange. I get like this like wire cutter email letter. What am I saying?
Yeah. Newsletter.
Thank you. So I get the wire cutter newsletter. Yesterday's topic was stop turning off your lights. Seriously. And then wire cutter, who I trust more than the government.
Yeah.
Says,
well, of course, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Says, yeah, modern light bulbs are so good. Like that was like old timey advice from when light bulbs were way less efficient. Like modern light bulbs, it's like almost indiscernible how much energy you're saving by turning the light off. So you can leave the light on if you want. You better believe I forwarded that article to Sean right away.
Is he a follow you from room to room and turn them off behind you?
Oh, yeah. Adam will leave me in the dark downstairs sometimes.
It's my biggest pet peeve. It's so, I get so angry when you're in the room.
I'm like, I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah. I am here. I matter. Yeah. My aunt's done that to me before when I'm home. And I'm just like, we're sitting in the dark with candles. Like there's a robot on Mars. We can have a light on.
Exactly. It's like, wow. Oh, you care more about this light than my existence. So no, I forwarded to him. He pushes back at first. And he's like, well, those are modern ones. I'm not sure all the light bulbs in our house are modern. And then I reply, that's funny because I bought them at the modern Target. And he's like, check the light bulb in your closet. And I said, I did when I changed it a year ago.
That is so funny. Oh, also, my light in my closet is the one I leave on the most. So that's really funny. Yeah, I'm gonna need the forward of this as well.
I will
Thank
be
you.
Sending this to you, no problem.
We're gonna need to link this in our Instagram.
Yes.
Wire cutter, hot damn.
That does make sense. I mean, I guess, not like I know fucking anything, but I guess that makes sense to my little brain.
Are efficient because now they're also like, I last 5,000 hours.
Yeah,
no energy. And you're like, the things that are taking the energy in your house are your refrigerator and like your various big appliances.
Yeah. So true. And like your air conditioner or whatever. Yeah, the light, that's probably like, it's just a drop. Just a literal water drop. It's nothing. Yeah. So
and like, I don't need everything to stay on, but like we do turn off all the lights downstairs. So it's like, okay, maybe one for if you're stumbling down there.
Yes.
In the middle of.
Exactly.
Yeah. A little night light, a little safety light. Nothing wrong with that.
This was incredibly vindicating for me because I don't know about you guys, but I'll leave a light on for the pets.
Yes, yeah, always. Of course. Yes. They don't want to wobble around in the dark.
I don't care that my cats have night vision. They need a light, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They're a person.
Also, I need a light to see them just to see how cute they are if I want to go see that.
Thanks, exactly. Yo.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so sorry, I'm also, man.
There's nothing funnier than just being in a room and having someone turn the light on. It's such a
There's a moment where you're like, oh shit, do I not exist? Have I been wrong this entire time that I'm not actually like, am I a ghost? Oh no.
Or Sean likes to do the move where like he's ready to get in bed, so he'll turn off the light.
It's that's
like,
what,
dude, I'm still wearing jeans and sneakers.
Yes. Yeah. Things are still happening over here.
That's so funny.
Oh, the truth. Hell yeah. The truth of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was good news for everyone.
Okay. This is good. We've taught everyone something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big informational podcast episode. I love it. I also want to say on the main feed, I want to give a shout out to you guys for helping me plan my 40th birthday party and having such a really fun, great time this past weekend. So thank you.
Aww.
You guys are the fucking best. And thank you. Barbara also made me a Baja Blast.
Something.
It was supposed to be a Baja Blast cheesecake. It upset a lot of people.
It really made people upset.
I felt bad by how upset I was, Babs. Like, I want to come clean about that. Because I was really excited for it. I was so excited that you were making it. I encouraged it. I was, like, so stoked. And then I realized, well, I guess we should say what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I found a recipe online. Someone had made Mountain Dew cheesecake, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this Baja Blast. So you make like a syrup out of the Baja Blast, you reduce it, and then it's like just cream cheese and like sweetened condensed milk. But I don't know what happened. It didn't set. I left it in the fridge overnight. Like, it had plenty of time to set. It was pudding, and it was the worst. I colored it green and blue, so it was like the worst color you've ever seen in your life.
It was a pukey. It was like puke.
Yeah. Like, I've never eaten.
Is it gack-like?
Gack.
Yes, gack-like.
You know what it looked like? Yeah. And It was less appealing than this, but it looked like, you know, in Hook when they have that dinner with all the fake.
Yes.
It looked like it was food. So insanely colored that it like felt like you were eating just like nonsense.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was insane.
Fake food for sure.
Yeah, it was fake food. And like we put the candles in the 4-0 and they literally sunk into it. Melting
down. We had to use the whipped cream as almost like a brace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not structurally sound.
No.
Yeah, it was a total fail, which I'm really sad about because it tasted good, but it was like,
it tasted great.
Yeah, you couldn't eat it because it looked so insane.
Yeah, my thing. Like, I for sure was like going to have a slice, but then I guess I didn't even realize. Honestly, I'll have to thank the cheesecake because I didn't realize until that happened how important texture is to me.
Thank the cheesecake.
I'd like to thank the cheesecake, the cheese pudding.
If I could reduce, if I knew it was going to be like that, I would have done a trifle or something where it's like a thin layer of that between cookies or something would maybe be okay, you know, but not a mass of it.
a gloop.
It was gloop, and also it was too much. It was like seeping out of the side. It was just there was a lot going on.
I mean, I slopped some on a plate, and I slurped it up. It was great. Yeah.
No, one gal. Literally, I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. Like, it's like totally falling apart. And she was like, you should put it in the freezer. And I was like, I know, but like then no one's gonna eat it. So there wasn't room to put it in there. And she just was so grossed out. She was like, you should put it in the freezer. Like, she was having a real hard time.
It was polarizing.
It was nasty. It was fucking nasty. And like it was disappointing for me because I was like so excited to make it and like and it was just like, oh, well, this sucks. Like, I'm glad it's not like it was an expensive item to make, so that's like, but
and
it was
I'm sure
still
it was
just time like,
consuming.
Yeah,
you thought about it for weeks.
That's, yeah, it was I a mean, plan. She's been we were exchanging recipes.
Yeah, Yeah.
Aw, thanks, but, guys.
But yeah, it certainly, I'll have to send you, it did not look like the one that the guy made. And I think, I think I put too much of the Mountain Dew syrup in it or something like that. Something was off, obviously. So
yeah, I mean,
there is a picture on Babs's Instagram for reference.
We'll post it on our IG.
Yeah.
I also, because this also makes me really respect that Taco Bell's been able to pull it off commercially.
I can't wait for
theirs to drop at the
stores. That's what the inspiration was. I was like, they made one. Like, we can make one.
We can cook better than Taco Bell.
You know what? This reminds me, though, of Chipocalypse. Yeah. When I tried to make Doritos at home.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some foods that are better left to the scientists.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mountain Dew Baja Blast should not be tampered with.
No.
It should not. It was, I do kind of want to make it again and to be vindicated.
Well, I'm not going to stop you. I'll help you this time.
Yeah. I think I know what I would do differently this time. So I might try it again. Maybe the next event we have, we'll give it another shot and see what happens.
I feel like these kind of recipes, you're taking a gamble. And like, it's not like you're going to do a practice run of the
Of course.
Yeah,
it was incredible that I even pulled off making it in the first place. Like, to be, you know.
I was very impressed.
Yeah.
For the record, I really wanted you to know, I was very impressed. I felt bad about my, you know, fairly obvious
aversion.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like snot in a pie tin. It was a massive loogie.
Yeah, I have never like put my spoon in. Like, it was just like so bizarre to eat. And like then it just sat on the counter with a big spoon, and it was just like jizzing on. It was so bad.
And it was kind of a warm day.
Yeah, it was not good. It was a lot of factors. Yeah.
No, everyone was like, "Well, I'm not gonna."
No, why would they? I was impressed when I came back inside and saw that someone. I was like, "What? It must just."
I did.
I think it was only me and Brandy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I tried it because I was like, "Babs put the work into this. I'm gonna try this damn thing." And honestly, the flavor was good. I said, "You know what? It's just pudding. It's pudding.
Yeah.
It's not a cake. It's pudding. Babs made you a birthday pudding, and frankly, you succeeded at a birthday pudding.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
but
my
no,
own
it
personal
was...
snack pack.
Yeah, it was a really fun day. Lots of cool people, and Tess and I had done a. I don't know. What do you call this?
A surprise.
I saw this thing like a year ago online that was lawn signs. So it's like, it's Betty White in red, Rose from Golden Girls. And it says like 12 red roses just for you. And we were like, okay, well we have to get this for Brandy. So we forced Rick to make him sleep over at her house.
Yeah, we got Rick in cahoots.
Yep. Yeah, I stayed at his, and it's so funny because he kept being like, okay, we'll stay at my house tonight. And I was like, okay, I mean, we could. But like, the party's, it's like my birthday's
like
here.
The party's at your place, and
I'm gonna have to come back in the morning to work, but okay. And then I was like, do you have something like planned at your house? And then he was like, no, I don't, because we'd already like done, he got me like a surprise falconer. I got to like meet like a cool, so like cool hawk and an owl and like fly them at a park, which was awesome. And then this like panic look on his face of just like, no, I don't.
I need to do this. Just do
I don't.
That.
I don't have anything
if your
else.
Your fucking friends are roping me into this, and I can't say anything.
Yeah, and then we like get to his place, and he had like a dress that he bought me. They just hadn't given me yet, and he like quickly put it into a bag, and he's like, "This wasn't going to be for your birth. It was just like I got it, but here's another present."
He was so scared.
Well, also Rick knocked it out of the park with the charcuterie.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Right? Holy shit. Yeah. That was insane.
My man knows how to put out a spread. Proud of him.
Yeah. A+.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we left these things on Brandy's lawn so she could find them in the morning.
I love them.
And now, but I realized, I was like, oh, we did just give you a bunch of trash.
No. Right now, they're all around. They're all in Skelly's little plants behind him. So they're all together.
Right. No, they look great. Yeah.
They look amazing.
I was saying, if you're ever like sick of them, somebody had a good idea where they were like, oh, you can send them to your listeners. So we need like a single red rose.
Oh.
Will you accept this rose?
Will you accept this rose? So if you at some point when you're like ready to move past them,
yeah.
You can dole them out.
Okay, we can do that. Patreon.com/PageLady
if you want a chance. Our own bachelorette.
12 spots in the rose tier, eventually, if you want one. We'll each sign them. It'll be fun. And you know what? Yeah. I'll even throw in one of my old Reader's Digest jokes.
Hey, there you go.
I can't believe we never heard back.
I know. Nightmare.
Oh, my God.
Because I have 12 of those, too. So, yeah, that's a fun little package for you.
Yeah.
Well, not that you have to do that. That was just an idea.
Eventually, that might happen. Like right now, they're just fun being psychotic in the backyard.
Yeah, it is fun, especially when people don't get what they're there for, because it's just Betty White everywhere.
It was really fun watching several people. Our friend Kyle Clark, I saw him realize it in real time, and then he just couldn't stop laughing. He was like, "It's so brilliant. It's perfect." Yeah.
We did it at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So Babs and I, like lunatics, were just out there like putting roses in your front yard. And some woman was walking her dog and she was like, "Is it Betty White's birthday or something?" And we're like, "No, it's our friend's birthday. And we're giving her a dozen roses." And she loved it.
Oh,
she walked away.
That's amazing.
It's a good cackler. Speaking of, oh my God, also another announcement.
Huge news.
We have a new piece of merch. It's so cute.
I can't wait till mine comes in the mail.
I know, same. We're all going to be rocking them. It's a hoodie. It says "Keep on Cackling, Lady to Lady." It's just really adorable. You're going to want it, trust us. So go to Exactly Right's merch store and grab one for yourself right now. They are adorable. They're great. They're
great. We know what you guys like. It's cut cool. It's like a nice cropped cut. It's good textile.
Yeah. It's a really nice piece. I'm very excited. It's going to be my spring wardrobe.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been rocking hoodie that's I rock all the time. So I'm so excited to have, we're going to have two to switch out.
If you have the pink hoodie, this is the same cut. So it's perfect. It's a perfect cut. It's great. I love it. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah. So go check that out. We've got a new merch. So very exciting.
Very exciting. And keep on cackling. That's an important message.
Yeah.
To spread.
Keep on cackling.
Okay. We'll do a quick show shout out. If you're in LA, tonight, I've got my show Larry David Presents at Silver Lake Independent Jewish Community Center. That's at 7:30. It's an insane lineup. We've got Chris Fleming, Naomi Kerrigan, Ever Maynard. It's going to be really fun. So if you want to come to that, grab tickets in my Instagram bio. You know where the fuck to find us and find tickets. At this point, I'm like, look, if we advertise something, you know where to get a ticket. Just click on
bio.
The thing.
Link in bio.
Bio. We're not allowed to say, if the algorithm doesn't like us to write the words bio or link, so just know.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Why? Are they just out to get it?
Because they don't want you to click out of the fucking app.
Out of the app.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's like people don't write it sometimes because of that. So if you just know.
Links
in the bio. Yeah. Everybody.
By the way.
Link in the bio.
I have been getting, every time I tweet, because I came back to Twitter, whatever, and every time I tweet now, I get 5 tweets that say pussy, link in bio. Pussy link in bio. Are you guys getting pussy link in bio?
What are you talking about? You're talking about bots, replies? Pussy bots?
It's bots. Ever since the Wild West Elon Twitter, my reply, I just, it's nonstop pussy link in bio.
No,
anyway, I have a show in Laguna Beach tonight, Mosey on Beach.
Pussy link in bio. My favorite thing is on Instagram, all the bots that will be oh, I can't believe what I'm doing in the bathroom, or they all say these weird, that's to say it's pussy link in bio, but it's a little bit more
nuanced.
Behind.
There's more story.
Nuanced. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of bathrooms.
Hey, there's a transition. Our guest today, we had so much fun chatting with her. She has a show that she's currently performing at Soho House that you can go see if you're in the area. It's called The Writing on the Stall. It's all about graffiti and bathroom stalls, and we had a really great conversation with her all about it. So please enjoy our hang with Caitlin Cook. Let's just jump in talking to our guest. I'm really excited to talk to her about her show, The Writing on the Stall. Caitlin Cook, hi.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us with you. We're time traveling.
Tell us about, we're time traveling. I don't know when in the future this is. April? It's
yeah.
It's a week. It's a week from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much. Anyway, Caitlin, tell us about your show. It's such an incredible concept. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a one woman bathroom graffiti musical. Another one. I know.
Oh my God. Jeez. What's it like to be such a hack? God.
I know. Right? Basically I've been, photographing bathroom graffiti for like a decade. I studied art history and I got really frustrated with how pretentious that world is. Mm-hmm. And I started finding art in the silliest of places. I saw this one piece of graffiti right when I first started photographing that said, since writing on toilet walls is neither for critical acclaim nor financial reward, it is the purest form of art. Discuss. And I loved that.
Ooh, yeah.
It was so great. And I started photographing it everywhere. And then like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I was like, you know what? These are lyrics, actually. Mm-hmm. This is a found art song. I'm going to try and string them into lyrics. I've always been a songwriter. I love found art. And so I wrote this first song, which is the first song of the show. And it started doing so well that I was like, there's something here. People really connected with it because like, who hasn't seen something ridiculous written in a bathroom?
Totally.
Yeah.
Everyone has. And everyone, at least if you're like me, has thought like, who wrote that? Why did they bring a marker in here? Like,
yes, I always wonder that part.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, what is their story? So I was like, maybe I can write a show in which we find out a little bit about these stories.
Totally.
So I like went through all the photographs I'd taken and I started sorting them into categories. And one was like the sad poetic things people write. One was like men's versus women's stalls. One is like when people respond to each other on the wall. And I built out an album of like 8 or 9 songs. And then I started trying to string together a story. And it took me a couple like iterations and runs to get it. But it finally clicked in for this last for my previous off-Broadway debut. And really it's just become this show about like, everyone's welcome, but it's really about how women in particular become really confessional in bathrooms and how you can meet like your best friend for that night. And you might not know her name, but like you cheered her up cause she's crying. Totally. Or you shared lipstick or something. And it's about like vulnerability and the anonymity of writing in stalls and like these individual stories as we all sort of pass through these like public, but intimate places. And so my last off-Broadway run was like, it was the debut of the show and I had like such a very small following and I was like, I hope I don't know the theater money. I hope people come. And then it blew up, which was so fun. Like it was selling out by the end, lines around the block, and my songs went super viral. And so I'm coming back to Soho Playhouse March 27th through April 13th. With the show again, with some minor tweaks and changes. And of course, once again, I'm like, I hope people come. I hope I don't know the theater money.
Have you thought about writing those dates on bathroom stalls around New York?
Yes, I just started doing that. Such a guerrilla marketing move. But yeah, it's funny. People have sent me pictures of like, my lyrics feels weird to say because there are other people's things that they wrote, but I'm the one that turned them into lyrics. Right. But people have like heard these songs, gotten obsessed with them and written them in like school bathrooms and like theater bathrooms. Wow. And it's wild. They'll like send me pictures of like my whole song sort of written on a bathroom wall.
How many phone numbers are in the musical?
That's such a good question. I think there only might be one.
Okay.
But there's a lot of like for a good time call and then the number crossed out and someone has written something like your mom, like she's a great lady, she misses you, or like something silly like
totally,
that.
Totally, totally.
Yeah. How did you kind of get through that initial first leap? I mean, this is such a unique concept and you were so charging into like untreaded waters. Like how did you mentally prepare for that? And how did you like take the steps to actually start workshopping the show?
Oh man, it was such a journey. I even wrote the first song in a way where like I could strum on the guitar and then hit the space bar on my computer so that the slide would change to show the graffiti behind me. Like it was such a process. And then I bought like a foot pedal that's made for like orchestral violinists so that they can change sheet music while they're playing. Mm. And I use it to like change the slides on these like illustrated dick jokes. Which is so ridiculous. But yeah, it was like I started putting a couple songs into some performances when I would do comedy clubs or theaters or wherever I was doing spots, if they had a projector, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to show up early and like have all this gear and you're going to be annoyed at me and you're going to appreciate it afterwards.
Yeah.
But like, it definitely took a while to try and put the show together. And I did the Edinburgh Fringe again. I workshopped a couple shows there. And like, I think some people have this idea that you're supposed to come there with like a perfect show and you do it for 30 days straight and all the industry comes and you're the next Fleabag or whatever. But like, the truth is, it's really a great place to workshop something, because I can't think of any other place where you get to do an hour every day for a month straight in the same room.
That seems like the appeal to me, partly is being able to evolve a performance.
Totally. And it's also really hard to evolve there, because it's like every day you're flyering and trying to get people into the show and seeing other people's shows. So you're like, when do I have time to like go look at my script?
Right.
You learn over the course of the month. And so I did an earlier version of the show there that like I learned a lot. But what I really finally learned at the end of that was, I was showing people, I was playing all these graffiti songs and kind of like challenging myself to get over my fear of talking to the audience. And like, I did a little bit of like clowning at the beginning, which is still in the show. The show starts with me like peeing in a toilet on stage. That's the sound effect, but like peeing, pulling down, like I have a million pairs of underpants on during the show that I like to throw out into the audience. But I like, the show starts with me pulling down my underpants, peeing into the toilet, and then realizing there's no toilet paper and having to ask the audience for toilet paper.
Won't
continue until someone brings me something. So I wrote the show in this way where I was like, I'm so scared of like not knowing what's happening next, of talking to the audience. I guess I have to write myself into this corner. But it wasn't until after Edinburgh that I was like, oh, I know what's missing from the show. I'm not putting any of like my personal story, how I would be vulnerable in a bathroom, what is the kind of thing that I would be spinning out about. And so I finally like brought in some of like my actual story and my identity. And like then the show clicked in.
Yeah,
but man, it took years. It's such a process.
To figure that through line, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
That's what I love about stuff like that, though, just, you know, the process, and like, you just never know what something's gonna kind of turn into over the, over so many years.
And I'm the kind of person that I love watching people figure that out. I love watching like an early iteration of someone's hour and then seeing how it progresses. And I love that kind of work. And maybe that's just because like I've spent a lot of time in both stand-up comedy and music and theater, but like I'm sort of trying to use all of the skills and all of my connections to those worlds to help foster the show into what it's become.
Yeah, I don't think people realize like anything that is a live performance, I don't think people realize how time consuming it is to workshop something like that, because it's it's not like writing an essay or a script or something where you can just send it to a couple buddies and have them email you notes. It's like every fucking time you want to see if something works, you need to get 100 people in a room.
It requires butts in the seats.
It's so hard too to be like, hey, please come to this thing that like might be awful, I don't know yet.
Totally.
I mean, I love you know, just when you know we learned about like your show and what it's about, I do think what you said is kind of that there's something so unique about like the ladies room, like when you're out, you know, especially when people are at a club and like they're talking to each other and they're bonding and just like those one night friendships where you're like hyping someone up or something like that. I love that. It's such a unique, special thing, you know, and so I love like embracing that that aspect of it. I'm definitely thinking of a few. Yeah. Women who I had very intense discussions with who I'll never see again.
I wonder what it is about that space. I was just at an event on Saturday and it was like I was peeing and then I heard the two women like outside of me, they were outside the stall, they were like, didn't know each other, and they were just like going back and forth complimenting each other's outfits. And it's like, that's so what happens in the ladies room. Like, it's like this space of like of just exactly uplifting people. I think it's just like a reprieve from the chaos of the event or the bar or whatever. Like, there's some kind of like a sanctuary feel to it.
Yeah,
totally.
It's like the original checking your phone. I think, but with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. That's so true. And it's also, it's so funny too. Like, I realized at some point in the show, I had a couple men in the audience later talk to me and they were like, I didn't get what you were doing until you like told us halfway through that it's a ladies' room. I think you need to tell us that a little earlier, because men's rooms are not like that. Yes. They're not a safe space. They're a space for like bullying and like bad jokes mm-hmm. and like dick measuring and like they're gross and men want to get in there and get out as fast as they can. And like, that's so different from ladies' rooms. It's so different.
Dude, my office building, it's two single stall bathrooms. So like there's a quote unquote men's and a women's, but I just use whatever one's open, obviously.
Yeah.
This has been puzzling me for like a year. In the men's bathroom, there's a printed out on computer paper sign that says in all caps, do not steal the urinal cake.
What?
I'm just like, what happened?
That's so funny.
Urinal cake bandit was in the building some point. Oh man.
So in so many levels.
That's so gross. Yeah. And so weird and so funny.
What are they doing with so it?
Aside, what are they doing? Yeah, how did they know it was missing? Our building manager is a woman.
Yeah.
What prompted her to have to make that big font and then print it out?
Yeah.
Like,
and just like a urinal cake, I believe, only is for one purpose. So like, are you moving it to a second location? I don't know what's happening. I'm scared.
Some guy thought it was blue raspberry once and never live it down.
Oh my God.
What I love about this too is like, yeah, I feel like we've all seen like really funny, you know, interesting graffiti in the bathroom walls. And like, I do love it when someone gets really like deep, you know, or the, yeah, they write like something. But I also, it must be interesting because obviously you've been on a journey with this and been working in a long time, but it's also interesting because it just changes how you look at things. Like, you know, like the next time I'm in a bathroom, I'll be looking at it more than I would have before, because now it's kind of, you know, we live in LA, it's all over the place, like I don't really see it.
But
it's one of those things, it's like, oh, now that you're looking for something specific, it's going to like stick out all the time. You must like have a different, you have like a different, you have like 3D glasses but for bathroom graffiti.
Yeah, it's funny. I've definitely always been the kind of person that like I do a lot of design work and illustration and stuff. And I love found art. And so I've always seen things in a way that's like, how did someone make this? Mm-hmm. How is this thing that people don't see as art? How is this art? But what's been funny about my show is like, I get like hundreds of DMs a day of people sending me pictures of bathrooms.
Right. I'm sure.
And so many people have been like, told me that I have changed the way that they view bathrooms. And also so many people have been like, sorry, I'm sending this to you while I'm shitting right now. And I'm like, I don't need to know that part.
No.
But,
we can all just, we get it. We know that that's what's happening. Happening.
Yeah, you're munching on a urinal cake in the John. We get it.
We get it.
We get what's happening in there.
It makes me happy that people like have heard my songs or heard about my show and have started to look at that experience or just the world slightly differently. Like, what is this person's story? Why did they write that? This is also art.
What was the one? Do you remember the one that like clicked it for you, or was there one that really kind of sent you on this journey? Or
certainly like the one that I said at the beginning about the discuss the sort of art historical perspective was really wonderful. But there were some ones early on, like that are in the first song too. Like I saw people writing life anal burritos and strippers, my friend, and I saw it like multiple times and I was like, what is happening?
Was it the same handwriting? I wonder if that's like just,
No.
Really?
I found out, I think it might be a quote from some TV show.
Okay.
What was that TV show with Jared Padalecki and Supernatural? I think it might be a quote from Supernatural.
Okay.
That's even kind of weirder.
That kind of tracks though, because it has like a cult following. So I can see, like,
Does it?
I can see that being something that people did. Yeah.
And then I also saw Toy Story 2 was okay everywhere. And I found out, I thought that was so funny. And I found out later on that that is from, and I don't know why I didn't like connect this because I love Demetri Martin, but it's from one of his earlier albums where he was talking about people being like extreme in their bathroom graffiti opinions, that he just wanted to people to write something ambivalent, like Toy Story 2 is okay. People heard that and they wrote it everywhere. But I just, I think it's so funny when people latch on to a thing. Mm-hmm. There are some that like I see everywhere that's become trends, and there's some ones that like it's someone just really sad or someone like just sharing a random thought, but I just find it so interesting and I want to know their stories. And like the goal for after I finish whatever this solo show becomes is I would like to build out like an ensemble musical with a full cast of like telling these individual stories and how they weave together. But that's like years down the
line. Well, it's going to happen. you're on the way. So
yeah, I'm getting there.
I'm always very haunted by one that I saw years ago of like somebody in really cute handwriting and written Rob Thomas rules. But then somebody else with a switchblade crossed out rules and then dug into the metal and carved sucks underneath instead, as if Rob Thomas had personally wronged this person. I was like,
took like muscle.
Who is this upset?
Who has that strong of an opinion either way about Matchbox 20?
I know. I'll always remember just the metal peeling back around the S. I was like, damn, what did he do?
I know. The ones that people have carved.
Yeah.
I'm like, you took time to do this. What is going
on in
your life?
Have you delved into the carved toilet seat at all? Is that covered in this? Because I am always curious about
it. I'm always curious about that. I haven't gotten too many pictures. It's sort of funny the kind of things that people send me versus the ones I actually stumble upon in real life. And I just haven't gotten that many of like carved toilet seats. But I'd like to.
Okay.
You know?
Got it.
To the fans of this podcast, please send me pictures of carved toilet seats.
I guess they're not usually quite as lyrical as the walls.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
My brother, speaking of carved toilets, my brother collects coins. Mm-hmm. And he has these coins that I guess are worth kind of a lot, and they're toilet coin. They're like real silver dollars that like in the late 1800s, they made political cartoons on them by making the president sit on toilets.
Oh, honey.
They're toilet coins.
Yes. He has these like really special toilet coins.
Wow. That's incredible. I love that.
I mean, it's great. It is one of the few
things of a toilet.
Yeah. It's one of the few things we all do. So it is like incredibly universal.
Have you guys ever ridden on a bathroom stall?
No.
I feel like I have, but not on purpose. Like, I feel like I maybe have responded to something somebody wrote if I happen to have a pen on me or something. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time if I've done it, but I seem to remember that somewhere in the back of my head.
No, I've never had the compulsion to do it, I don't think. I like reading. But not
I'm a reader.
Participating, I think.
Yeah. I think for me, it's the Sharpie issue. Mm. I don't usually have a Sharpie with me. Otherwise, I probably would have.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very fair. I respond to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But mostly I'm a curator collector now. But what I think is so funny is like sometimes I'll get comments about my show that's just like, this isn't original. So she just took other people's jokes and like put them into a song. And I'm like, all right, I don't want to pull back the curtain too much, but like I wrote a lot of these, man.
Yeah.
And you're also like, oh, all she did was write a song.
Yeah.
I know, right?
And it's like, yeah, some of these things weren't going to rhyme together. I did write some, okay?
Yeah. I made some stuff work. I also put it all together, and like you just didn't.
Yeah.
And that's why you're upset.
It's like, I hate to tell you this, but all art is just based on things that an artist sees in the world and then processes and turns into something else.
Yes.
This kind of reminds me. I'm listening to this podcast right now about the apology line. Have you guys ever heard about this? This phone line that people could call in. It was in, I think, like the 80s, early 80s, and this artist set up basically a phone line where you could call a number and just leave an apology. You know, you're supposed to do it anonymously. And
I have heard of this.
Yeah. Yes. And so it's kind of the same. I think like the same concept where like people, it's really interesting what people will do when they're anonymous, you know, when like they, when it's just kind of like, this is something I'm putting out there and it's not attached to me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it turned really dark for him because he had guys calling and confessing that they were serial killers and all this like really dark, creepy shit. It's like very upsetting. But yeah, kind of the same, just interesting thing of like, wow, what do people like do when no one's watching, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really loved Post Secret and stuff
like that. Me too, I was just thinking
Yes.
I've always really been intrigued by like, what people will share when they feel safe, mm-hmm. like it won't be attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have internet comments, so that's great.
Exactly. Now we have Reddit, so it's fine.
The bathroom graffiti bathroom of the world.
Yeah. What's also so crazy about it, and there's like a little section of the show in which I like actually use the art history degree that I never thought I would use for anything. Mm-hmm. But like I go into this whole portion of like it's literally the oldest form of art.
Yeah.
You know, caves. It's like cave paintings, and like that's like it's like there's stuff in like the foundation of the Vatican that you can find and like ancient Greek sculptures where people are just carving into like by their little holes and that used to be their toilets. You know, it's crazy. And yet it's like this form of art that is very easily dismissed. And yet
that's so interesting.
Yeah. Have you read No Logo?
Mm-mm.
It's really good. It's Naomi Klein, and she talks about how it's very actually like classist. Like companies and corporations take up public space with their quote unquote art like all the time against our will. And there's something very democratic and leveling about graffiti. It's like, why do these corporations have the right to just put these big fucking billboards up, but it's so looked down upon when a street artist claims that public space?
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, I was. Straight out of college, I was like so interested in graffiti in general, not just bathroom graffiti, that I like was about to move to Finland. I got like a Fulbright grant to study and photograph graffiti art there because the government had opened up a bunch of free wall space. And I was like, what does it do to this art form that's so connected to like vandalism and like fighting the man and like a gang culture and like this democratic thing if the government just says, here's a space, actually. Like, what does it do to this art form? It's so intriguing. There's so much history to it. I wish that there's like more I could get into in my show, but like it feels right to focus in on just like
You can't. Yeah. That's a big scope.
Mm-hmm. I wrote an article about this place in LA that I love and am fascinated with called Graffiti Lab. And it's exactly like that. This guy took this space a huge outdoor space in downtown LA, and it's anyone can go graffiti there, but the only rule is you can't tag gang stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's this like really beautiful place where a lot of people who got like mixed up in gangs and stuff like that now can, and like the people that are from rival gangs will do art next to each other. Wow. And it's really, really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We have that big high rise in LA right now that's like covered in graffiti.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. It's like a huge building that just like every level has a different, you know, graffiti artist on it. And I guess it's controversial because rich people are angry, but.
Yeah. Well, it was like an abandoned structure that they like got a bunch of money to build and now it's just an eyesore. The footage of it is crazy because then it just says like crypto.com arena like behind it and you're like, what a
so dystopian.
Crazy dystopian thing. But it's cool because it's like they did it. It's like a coordination of so many different artists like that must have over one night or two nights just like covered this entire building. And it's like, to think that many are working in tandem and just, you know, it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
I know in humans. Yeah. Yeah. In Rochester, there's like a section of the Erie Canal that's like drained that like people from all over the world come and they like can get, it's like under this tunnel that they like paint and they, you know, they can do graffiti.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Cool.
So it's like a international destination, just like this tiny little underground section.
Whoa.
Of the old Erie Canal.
If you're like me, you're juggling 10,000 things all the time. And you didn't go to school for juggling, okay? You went to school for a film degree that you'll be paying off for all eternity. I have a hard time focusing, if you haven't been able to tell on the podcast. And I really struggle, especially in the middle of the day, you know, that 3 p.m. slump when you really have still a huge list of stuff to do. All you want to do is take a nap, but you got to keep going. I need something in that moment to get me through that. And I found the perfect thing.
It's called Magic Mind. Magic Mind is a matcha-based energy shot that's infused with nootropics and adaptogens. It's designed to crush procrastination, brain fog, and fatigue. Trust me, this stuff is just like the name. It's bottled magic. I use it not just for that 3 p.m. slump, but by the way, the 3 p.m. slump can be any time of the day, right? You can wake up and immediately be in that slump. And that's where Magic Mind comes in. It really helps me get over that without feeling jittery, without crashing, and just stimulates me and my brain in the way that I need in that moment. Go to magicmind.com/ladytolady20. And for a limited time, if you use code LADYTOLADY20, you will get 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. That's code LADYTOLADY20 for 56% off. It also works if you're an existing subscriber. You'll just save on your next subscription payment. Again, the website is magicmind.com/LADYTOLADY20. And use discount code LADYTOLADY20 for 56% off your subscription. And look, if you're not sure what to get, go with the 30-pack. It's the best value. Get magic, y'all. Well, Kaylin, we're going to play a game and ask you some stupid questions. How do you feel about that?
I love games.
Yay. I don't know if we should call them games anymore, but whatever. Games. They're something.
I mean, it's a... I don't know another word.
It's a segment. It's a game.
It's a thing.
It's a segment. It's
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is called MySpace. So here's our theme cool. song.
Loved it.
I always like when we have actual musicians on the show and we're like,
yeah,
here's our
jam out to this.
I loved it. I write the stupidest songs in the world sometimes.
Stupid is my favorite thing.
I appreciate when people record them.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Caitlin, what three things are always within reach of your bed?
My phone, water. And my vibrator.
Good answer. Just the basics.
I took a really cute picture of my cats the other day on my bed, and then I realized I needed to move the angle.
Your vibrator?
Yeah. I was like, this is a very obvious in the foreground.
That's very funny. Yes.
My three children.
Do you drink your bed water?
Yes, I do.
You do.
Good for
what do you mean?
Yeah, that's but
good.
I mostly keep it there. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm thirsty, but also my fiance always wakes up and is thirsty and forgets to bring his own water. So often I keep it there for him as well.
Is he crawling over that's, you to get it?
We'll consider it.
Sometimes.
I'm not a late night, like, because I don't get up to pee really. So like I just, you know, I just wait until the next day until I go downstairs. I won't drink it.
Yeah.
It'll just sit there.
I have to have a bed water for like emotional support. but often it goes untouched. But I have to like know it's there.
Yeah. I would say I go through phases. It depends on like if I've been consuming water or alcohol. If I've been consuming alcohol, I need my bed water.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's nothing worse than waking up from a night of boozing and not having water nearby.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you guys seen those cute little like carafes that have that? Like I keep telling myself if I buy one of those that I'll drink more water.
But do you mean those cute carafes? You just mean carafes?
Well, there's like specific ones for your bed that have the glass on top that goes on top of it.
That is cute.
Yeah,
I have not, but I agree. Like, I feel that there's something very luxurious about an ensuite carafe.
That's lovely.
Oh yeah,
but I'm need
them.
To
adorable.
I usually have a water bottle because I have been known to knock glasses over in my sleep. Mm.
Oh, so yeah, that's a
I
good
can't
call.
Have a carafe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I usually have whatever it's bottom of a bubbly water is around.
Oh yeah. That'll do.
That works.
Caitlin, what product are you currently obsessing about?
Ooh, what a question. What product am I currently obsessing about? Nothing springs to mind immediately, which is probably good for my consumerist tendencies. Man, what have I bought recently? I bought these tiny little speakers for our, like, me and my fiance built a recording studio during the pandemic and then it flooded four times.
Oh, God.
And now it is finally under construction. It's coming back and we're so excited. But we built this like mini in the corner home recording studio, mm-hmm. and everything needed to be mini. And I bought these tiny little speakers that are like the size of the palm of your hand. And they are so loud and good. Ooh. And I don't know how they did it. It's wild. And I wish I could tell you what they were called, but I feel like anytime like some piece of technology is named to me by a man, it just goes in one ear.
It doesn't, you know, it's fine because we're all about to see this on our algorithm after we get done podcasting. Yeah. So you don't even need to tell us the name.
Yeah, the algorithm will just show it to us.
Speaking of algorithm, I just have to say, do you guys know how we've been talking a lot about See's Candy?
Yeah.
I got a fucking targeted ad that was really cute. They put a Barbie in a See's Candy store. And I was like, are they trolling me? Like, what happened? I haven't Googled See's Candy. They must have just known.
Yeah.
They know. That's so funny.
They know. They're listening. The algorithm's a listener. And frankly, thank you.
It truly is. Truly is. I just got engaged like a month ago and been the kind of person to thank you. I've never been the kind of person to plan my wedding. I've never looked at dresses. I don't know anything about venues. I don't know how to do any of that. And like, I'm just getting ad after ad after ad after ad. Yeah. And clearly it's because like
you posted like an we're engaged pic or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, and he and I have talked about it a lot at the house. Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
And some people. And that's it. That's it. Now all the marketing.
I do like the idea of AI being like, a wedding. Like, that's kind of fun though.
Yeah. AI is my wedding planner. I'll find your wedding. Yeah.
Please knock yourself out.
Yeah. That we can do with it for. That's good.
Yes.
Have you started the planning process at all?
No, we don't even know where we want to have our wedding. So.
Yeah.
Where are you both from? You're from California. Where's your fiance from?
We're both from LA. Oh, okay. I'm from LA proper. He's from Agoura Hills.
818.
But yeah. But yeah, we both live in Brooklyn and we often like take these little trips up on the Hudson and like part of me wants to do something out here and another part of me knows both of our extended families are over in California and it's probably easier to do it there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a hard choice.
I sort of just want to have a destination wedding and be like, cool, a lot of you can't come. Great.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Honestly, do that. Yeah. If that's what your inkling is, you should do it.
Yeah, it always seems like a nice way to kind of like pare it down and be like, come around. Yeah, bye.
I think the nice thing about a destination wedding too is like it eliminates so much choice from you. Like, I think part of the wedding planning process that's so fatiguing, well, number one is keep staying in budget. By far, that's the hardest thing. But then also like just the decision fatigue.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah, that must be really hard.
Oh my God. So like there's something I think very appealing about like at this resort, we have a flower.
Yeah.
A napkin.
Yeah, that sounds really lovely.
Yeah, because if it was anywhere near me, like I'd be schlepping so much shit. Like I'm just imagining all the crap I'd be carrying in my car to bring there.
I know. I'm sort of just like at this point, it's so new. It's so funny when you get engaged and people are like, so when's the wedding? And I'm like, can I just enjoy this part?
Yeah. Like,
my God. But but because I'm doing this show and like I'm probably I'm going back to Edinburgh for instance here and I'm doing a little London and European run in the like late summer fall. I'm sort of like, that's enough planning for me.
1,000%.
I'm going to wait until that's done and my wedding will be next year and we'll figure
it out. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
It's funny. My boyfriend and I have been together 5 years and like, people kind of ask us like, you know, are you going to get married? We're like, my mom, obviously, you know, the last time I talked to her was like,
that's her job.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. But I just don't really feel like a sense of urgency, you know, especially since I don't think we're going to have kids. It's like, I don't know. It's fine. I don't feel like I need it. But we were watching Vanderpump Rules and somebody had given someone like a, they're like, you have to propose within 6 months. Like, And I was just like, this is so not. And I was like, you're going to have to do that to me. I was like, you're going to have to give me an ultimatum because I'm not going to be the one pushing it. Like, maybe I could see in 10 years or something. But at this point, I'm like, I'm okay. Because I guess I think I'm just like all the planning. Yeah. It's like, because I know myself, like I get planner brain, like, you know, crazy. And it's just like, I have to put that off as long as possible.
I already know like what kind of bride you're going to be. You're going to go in deep.
Yeah, I'm going to be insane. So it's just like, I can't.
Because it's like the biggest comedy show slash party.
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
It's like, we all know how to produce an event at this point. Like, and we're good at it. So it's just more flowers than a comedy show.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't help it. Even if it's something that's like, I hosted like a fundraiser thing at my work, and it's like, yeah, that's not something I should technically be waking up in the middle of the night wondering if we should buy pretzel bites for, but I was, you know, so
exactly.
Yeah, so if this is going to be way worse.
Wild.
Yeah. I wrote my vows at like 8 a.m. the morning of my wedding because
I feel like that's kind of common, right?
I think especially for creative people, because like, you're like, whatever, you just know, you like, you're like, whatever, I'll fucking figure it out. Give me a deadline. I'll write something, whatever. Yeah. Like the night, cause Sean and I, we did spend the night separately the night before our wedding, and he's a writer too. So like at the rehearsal dinner, so we were like, okay, quick setup. And then like 10 different points, like we kind of like figured out an outline cause neither of us had written it. And I was like, all right, cool. See you tomorrow.
That's so funny.
Yeah, right. Caitlin, how do you feel about golden Oreos?
Good question.
Interesting. Those are the ones that are gold.
The blonde.
Yeah, they're like the blonde blondies.
I feel fine about them. I'm not a bit, I don't have a huge sweet tooth, so I'm not a huge Oreo person. And I'm like, all right, if I'm going to go for Oreos, they mostly taste the same, I think. Do they? Do they taste different? I don't know.
Actually, I don't even know if I've had those ones. So, but like, if you're going to go Oreo, yeah, I'm like, I'm going to go probably the basic bitch.
Yeah. If I'm going to go Oreo, I'm going to go like classic or maybe like double stuffed if I'm really feeling like I need a sugar binge.
Yeah.
But,
and I also feel like Oreos like really are, they're at home in ice cream.
I'm the same way. I'm like, if I'm gonna eat an Oreo, I want it to be an ice cream.
So I guess I feel like ambivalent about golden Oreos. Like if one is offered to me at the right moment, like cool, great, but I'm not gonna like seek them out. You know,
I would be creeped out that somebody had bought them. I'd be like,
oh really?
Yeah, I'd be like, why did you get these?
It is kind of a weird choice. It's reminiscent. I may be dating myself, but of clear Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just. Yeah. It feels, and this is coming from me, needlessly contrarian to have purchased golden Oreos.
Well, I think it's just a funny thing where it's like, all right, this thing was this color. What if we reverse it?
Exactly.
It's also so like, it's interesting that they're so ubiquitous. Like someone must be buying them enough that they have continued to make them.
Yes.
That's true.
But who are those people and why are those people?
Yeah. Well, I think.
Yeah. We should have a podcast about the golden Oreo people.
Let's get down to it. I mean, and I think let's just speak it into the algorithm one more time of like, we just want an Oreo sample assortment pack instead of buying
Oreo.
All of the different, because they just put up, they have like 40 different flavors. And it's like, I just want like two of each to try. Not interested.
Yeah. I'd like two mint.
Yes.
Two golden. Why not? Two double stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be great.
Nuts I'm butter. Interested in the birthday cake ones. I love shit that's birthday cake flavored.
I will, I don't know why golden Oreo is making me think of Willy Wonka. It just is. But, and musicals, it's all coming together. But they're apparently making a musical out of that Glasgow Willy Wonka experience.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, so.
But what's the set going to look like?
They better cast that woman as the Oompa Loompa. I don't want to see anybody else but that surly bartender Oompa Loompa. It's her story. It's her story.
Exactly. Yeah.
In my mind, there's a vape rig on the table? Yes. I know there isn't, but there is like spiritually.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the whole thing is just going to be that part of Willy Wonka where they're going through the tunnel and there's like worms on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's so scary. What it will feel like.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, who, I guess kind of, I'm curious just as far as like a creative and like who pitched that slash like, I guess they have the rights to pitch that. I don't know. Do the people who ran the shit experience have the rights to that thing?
It doesn't feel like they put the effort in to make that either. So
there are so many good musicals that like do not get make it to Broadway, and so many like shitty musicals out there that somehow have money behind it. And I'm like, sure, how?
Yeah. Right. It is like it is funny to turn like a viral story into that.
Well, because it also does take years. So it's like, what, like two years from now, people are going to be like, oh.
At least, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That. The workshop will probably go up in 2 years. Like, it'll be off Broadway in like 8 years.
So long.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. And like, my fiance is a Broadway guy. He was in Book of Mormon for a long time, and he was just in the new Tony Award winning Kimberly Akimbo, the newest one.
Awesome.
And we have really good friends that are Broadway musicians and performers, and that whole world is so different from comedy. And yet I'm still like, how does anyone survive? How does anyone make it work? It's wild.
It's insane. I mean, like I have friends that have like been on Broadway and actively had to like wait tables while they're on Broadway.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, all of my friends do this. It's wild. It's insane.
I mean, everything I know about it, I learned from Smash. And so
it's
basically a documentary.
I just know it's tough. And tech, you know, really takes over your life. So if you're in tech, then that's it.
Yeah.
Yep, I got a tech rehearsal on Friday. I got to put together another toilet, guys.
We got to get you a toilet sponsor. Like,
that's true. Truly,
it's my most ridiculous prop. When I go on tour, I buy a new toilet from Home Depot. I put it together. I put it in the show, and then I take it all apart and I return it to Home.
Oh my God, that's genius.
That's brilliant.
That's so smart.
I mean, we actually were comparing toilet prices on the spot.
Yeah, we were way off on our estimate of how much toilets cost. They're way cheaper than we thought.
They're way cheaper. Yeah. Like every time I get the cheapest one, just in case they won't let me return it, but it's, you know, $100.
Yeah.
Wild.
Shocking. I mean, and also good. I'm glad that inflation hasn't destroyed the toilet market yet.
Yeah. Just Taco Bell. Hey,
that's not in the shitter. Hey.
All right. Should we do some advice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Are we ready to solve everyone else's problems?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I just admitted to buying and returning toilets to Home Depot. I should be dispelling advice.
It's time. It's lady problems. If you have a lady problem, write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com, or you can also give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. I have a really big girl problem. Overall, it's a good problem. I am moving out of state to go to medical school. It's been a long time coming. I've worked really hard and I'm excited. But my partner is coming with me. He's coming on his own free will. He's excited too. But I am looking at a out of state move. We're moving from the Bay Area, to Oregon, where neither of us have family, but I will have, you know, the immediate community of going to school. I'll have something to do all day, every day, and be really busy. But my partner will need to look for a job and won't have any family or friends up there. So I am just so grateful that he wants to come with me. But I want to make the transition as easy for him as possible and like show my gratitude. So if you have any advice on how to help him, how to thank him for doing this for me, while being able to spend the time for myself of like actually being in medical school, because I won't be able to spend all day every day with him. Like, I'm sure he'd like me to. So yeah, I feel a little guilty about bringing him, even though we both want to go. But overall, it's a really good problem to have, and I'm excited. But thank you, ladies. Love you guys. Let me know what you think.
You don't got to do shit.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fact that you're thinking about it means that you're going to be caring for him in a way, you know, in a great way. So it seems like that you're obviously you're thinking of something you can't really like quite do yet, you know, until you get there. But yeah, I think just making sure, you know, you spend quality time together, which it sounds like you'll do. So that's the most important thing, but also having boundaries for yourself.
And I think like, I feel like I have a few doctors in my family and they all have like pretty close relationships with the people they went to school with, because I think med school is such a like intense experience that you kind of like have this war kind of bond with like your med school friends. Mm-hmm. So I think you're probably going to meet like a lot of cool people that you have probably a little bit. I mean, it's also like, totally all consuming, but I think I would just like loop him into your social circle. You're probably going to meet cool people that you can introduce him to. And like, you know, they're partners. I would just kind of include him in the hang.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, yeah, especially introducing him to the other partners too, I think, because it's like, once you guys are all cutting up bodies and labeling elbows or, you know, not a doctor, you know, they can, they need to be hanging out and be like, oh God, they're hanging out with their cadavers again. God damn it.
That's adorable that she's thinking ahead. I mean, I would say like, sometimes it's hard when everyone at a school feels like they've all gone through the same thing together. And then there's a partner just sort of like hanging around. But so him and sort of as many inside jokes and interactions as you can. Also, probably a lot of them may have partners that have tagged along with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's hard for men to make friends in there.
That too. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why boys can't just like go to brunch.
I know.
They like activities. I mean, I think that like
they do like activities. Golf. Yeah,
golf.
Get them golfing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like golf.
Or an intramural sport thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does he play an instrument? Is there like an open mic or anything like that nearby he can be going to meet people at? Is there a woodworking shop? I don't know. Like, figure out if there's like something that's happening in town that he wants to learn how to do, like meeting people at that kind of stuff.
Or like Bumble BFF, you know, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also if my boyfriend has like a VR headset that he plays mini golf with his family on. So like it's very dorky, but it's really cute too, because he ends up hanging out with his family and like his friends and stuff a lot more than I think he would, because it's not just a phone call, they're like actually doing something together. So he hangs out with his nephew and like his dad and all this stuff. So it's I think if you think he's gonna be missing his friends back home, you know, there's something like that, you know, that could be a fun like option for him to be like reconnecting with friends and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also I think like, think about if you're the one in the relationship now that is like kind of planning the social gatherings and stuff, like, I don't know that you're going to have the bandwidth to do that once medical school starts. So you're you need to have like, a clear conversation with him to be like, you need to be in charge of like the social calendar. So like, I can't, I'm not going to be able to do this. So who do you like, be proactive, or like, you know, even talk to me about like setting up stuff or whatever. But like, you know,
that's a really good idea. Cause yeah, like that. She's obviously worried about that because that is, it sounds like what she does. Mm-hmm. And I think being really clear with him about like, look, like we don't want to get into a routine where it's just like, you know, just us here all the time, because like, I'm usually the one planning stuff. So like, you really need to take the lead on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I
think. Yeah, because really, honestly, like you, for these next few years, like you are going to be going through a lot, and you mm-hmm. are going to need a lot of support, and you need to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to be sleep deprived. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's why I'm like not worried. I'm not worried about you taking care of him, because it's you need to take care of yourself. Slash, mm-hmm. you are inherently probably. It sounds like you do it inherently anyway.
Yeah.
So like, you don't need to go outside of. Mm-hmm. You don't need to try harder to do that because you're already doing it.
Yeah. I'm getting, I wonder if this is an oldest daughter.
Yeah, it feels.
It's
giving oldest daughter energy. Did you raise a young, if you raised a younger sibling of some kind, and that is a caretaker position that you carry over into every other relationship in your life, you might be an oldest daughter.
But yeah, congrats. I mean, obviously, like you said, it's a good problem to have. You're at a really exciting, like, place.
Totally.
And yeah, I think as long as you're like communicative with him, that's all you can really do.
Maybe, you know? Park him in front of a TV and put on, have him binge Scrubs to like understand what it is that you're going through. Does Scrubs hold up? That's I don't know. Or ER. I don't know. Whatever.
Somebody I can't tweeted, watch ER because there's too many needles.
That's true. House is great. I love House.
Somebody yeah. tweeted, we should be able to vote whether we care about Zach Braff and Donald Faison's friendship. I thought that was really funny. Because they really keep shoving it in our face.
Dude, it's wild.
We get it. You guys like each other.
I like wonder, does Gen Z even like know about Scrubs? Like, are they just like, who are these people?
They might not, or it's either they have no idea who it is, or like sometimes Gen Z does glom on to those
yeah.
kind of like nostalgia shows. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how yeah. they got obsessed yeah. with Friends?
Right, because you can binge like the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't think I ever have, if I'm being quite honest, I don't think I've ever watched an entire episode of Scrubs.
That's funny.
Have you guys?
I've watched a lot of Scrubs, actually.
You have?
Yeah. It's very just like, because like some of the, here's the thing, like Zach Braff's the worst part of the show, but like some of the side characters yeah. are phenomenal.
No, it's not a bad yeah, show. Yeah. It was, you know, it was good.
Yeah.
I will say it's one of the shows, as someone that like does music and comedy, I think about how it's combined a lot, and it's combined so badly so much of the time. Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job, especially in season one, of like Colin Hay, who's an incredible musician, is like just playing guitar on the street and sort of starts to follow Zach Braff around singing his like sort of internal thoughts and like shifts in the closet. And like, I was like, that's a really interesting way to incorporate music. And I really appreciated that about early Scrubs.
Okay. I did not know Scrubs was a musical, and now I will watch it.
It is a musical episode. It's actually like,
yeah, they definitely yeah. tried like fun.
Yeah. They
shit.
Break the form out yeah, like, with a lot of weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun. I do like Scrubs.
So now we do want to know about Zach Braff and Donald Faison.
Yeah, I just like Donald Faison.
Yeah.
I think he's honestly, and this is controversial, but I think his line in Clueless when he shaved his head, he just goes, "I'm keeping it real. I'm keeping it real." Like that to me is like the funniest line in the whole movie.
He's yeah. also like ageless. Yes. He like hasn't, right. he still looks, him and Paul Rudd like could be in Clueless now.
And look oh God, I know. Really? And at least the Silverstone looks snatched too.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do a Clueless in 2023.
I'm sure every single day it's something they're being proposed.
How has there not been a Clueless musical?
Yeah, that.
I bet they tried.
There's
maybe for
some
sure
off-Broadway
tried.
Type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely, it's not because there hasn't been an email chain about it.
There was a musical.
Oh, there was?
There was? Okay. Oh. I was like, that happened somewhere for sure.
Yeah. In 2018.
Mm. Oh. On Broadway?
At the Alice Griffin Jewelbox Theater. Yeah. It doesn't seem to have made it to Broadway.
I bet pandemic killed it.
It was a jukebox musical.
Oh, okay.
Ugh, I hate jukebox musicals.
What musician?
A bunch of people. They had Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. Say My Name, okay. Destiny's Child, Kids in America. Yeah. So. Hmm.
Okay.
No, if you're going to do Clueless, you have to do original songs. Like
have
that's
to.
It has yeah. so many iconic moments that are made for songs. Like you can't.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You can't just throw in random.
I want to fuck my brother. I want to fuck my brother. Don't think about it too much. I want to fuck my
really
brother.
This really jazz ragtime yeah. song.
Caitlin, this has been so fun.
Oh my God. Thanks for having me, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Tell everyone where they can find your show and anything else you have going on social media or anything.
Sure. My handle on everything is The Caitlin Cook. Caitlin is spelled C-A-I-T-L-I-N, not the stripper way, which I once said on a date. And then the guy said, so not like my sister. So.
And now Caitlin you're engaged.
Cook everywhere. Now I'm And yeah, the show is at Soho Playhouse, March 27th through April 13th. And it possibly may extend a final week right after that through April 20th, if tickets sell. And if you send me a picture of bathroom graffiti, I will give you a discount code for the show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then I'm also touring the show. So I'm going to lots of places in the Midwest and New Orleans and then the UK and Europe. So let me know if you want to come to my show.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us. It was so fun to talk to you and congrats on the show. It's great, great work. And we're excited to see what you do next. We're ready. I'm ready for the full 10 person, you know, we'll be there for the whole journey. So
I'm not going to raise $18 million, but then I'll get there.
That's a GoFundMe. thanks everybody for listening. You're the best. And hey, if you like the show, by the way, you should leave us a review.
Oh yeah,
because that helps us out actually. So mm-hmm. Go, you know, 5 stars, leave a review. Why not? And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye, guys.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. I noticed that one of your New Year's resolutions is to meet Fabio. I don't know if he is still doing this, but in the early 2000s, he had a workout class on the beach in Laguna Beach. And my mom did not realize it was Fabio and would just kind of scoff at him every time she walked by. Just like, ew, this stupid Fabio wannabe teaching a workout class on the beach. And then a few weeks later, like after she'd been doing this every few days, she reads an article in the local paper saying that Fabio is in town teaching workout classes. She was scoffing and rolling her eyes at the real Fabio. So, yeah.
Oh, hey, it's me. So, just pulled up to work, and I was like, you know what? I'm really bummed because I can't see Tessa's show because I'm at stupid fucking work. Oh, don't mind my Kim Possible ringtone. And I thought to myself, wow, look at all this fucking snow. I really shouldn't be at work. But I really hope Miss Barker makes it safe and sound to the beautiful state of Colorado and has a wonderful show at that sushi place tonight. I'm bummed I can't be there. Hope you're safe and sound, and I'll see you next time. Gonna get high before the shift. Okay, bye!
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @BabsGray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.